The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Songs that we've been singing through this morning are all focusing on holding on to the Lord, having Him as our strength, calling out to Him in our time of need. And I really love the way that Hannah spoke about very specific things, those things in our life that can be the storms that we go through, and then leading us and the kids in that time of prayer. And that's really where we want to be as people who journey through life, that we want to be recognizing the struggles and the challenges, but also to recognize that we've got the Lord who is our strength and our hope and our joy. So in the many storms of life, we are going to go through many different journeys, many different challenges. We're going to have the ups and the downs. We're going to have times of distance and distraction. We're going to have times of closeness and being firmly anchored to the Lord. It's the storms and it's the calm. And as we face these storms, Psalm 107 speaks to us, and we're starting off of verses 1 to 3, which says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, and from the north and from the south." And so right from the beginning of this psalm, wherever it's going, and we'll read through the psalm, wherever it's going, right from the beginning, we know the attitude that we need to have as we read this psalm. And it's an attitude which focuses on and is an attitude of thankfulness for the character of God. And in particular, this psalm is looking at the fact that God is a good God. He's not vindictive, He's not unjust, He's not indifferent. He is the good God who brought His people out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He's a good God who returned His people from the exile in Babylon. He's a good God who is working for our good, even in those times when it may not feel like it's working for our good. He's also the God whose love endures forever. It's not a fleeting love. It's not a conditional love. It's not a temporary love. God continues to show His love in acts of grace and mercy and kindness and forgiveness and all of these aspects that come under the love of God, with the ultimate expression of love being the giving of Jesus Christ, His one and only Son, God so loving the world that we may not have, that we may not perish but have eternal life. And so the visual outworking of God being a good God who loves us and loves us and who has an enduring love is that He is a God who calls His people. He's a God who builds His kingdom. He's a God who gathers His church. So that as He's bringing this family in, these people who are coming in, they've got a story to tell. And each one of us has got a story to tell. The story of the good God and a loving God who brought us from a place of darkness, from a place of brokenness, from a place of where we needed healing or redemption or whatever it is, from that place where we're sitting in the storm to the place of knowing we have a place in God's family. And so this psalm is being spoken to those who are in God's family. So let's remember that from the beginning. It's the story of the redeemed and the story of God's work to the redeemed, the testimony of the redeemed. And as we read through this story, as we read through this psalm, we're going to see that this story is quite varied and goes in all sorts of directions. And so the first people or a group of people who tell their story are those who we're going to call the wanderers. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their distress, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. And so the wanderers here are those who have stopped following the path. When I was in grade 12, in my days when you were in grade 12, every grade 12 had to go on this overnight camp, this walk, and you had to find your own way to the campsite. And we had maps and we were following a path and we had compasses and we were all really excited for this challenge. But there was a group of us, myself included, and we just ended up chatting. And we were just chatting about all sorts of things and how, you know, just general stuff that grade 12 people talked about in those days, which was the stock market and... No, I'm just kidding. No. We were just walking along. And then suddenly, there was probably about 10 of us, suddenly we realized we're not on the path anymore. We had got so distracted in our conversation that we had actually gotten lost. Now, thankfully, we had maps and thankfully we had compasses. And then once we focused as a group, we found our way back. We connected up with a group that was ahead of us and that we were meant to be part of. They didn't even realize we were gone. So, but wanderers. So when we're talking about wanderers, we're not talking about those who are deliberately disobeying God or setting out to deliberately disobey God. We're talking about those who are in the wasteland because they've become distracted. Maybe it's the distraction of a new opportunity. Maybe it's just the general distraction of having to pay bills and make ends meet. The general distractions of life. It could be a whole range of things. But it's just life has distracted us. And then at some point, we find ourselves wandering. We realize that we're kind of lost. We're off the path. We're in the wasteland and we're feeling a bit insecure. We continue to be wanderers until we cry out to the Lord who promises to give us complete spiritual security. So in this verse, it talks about those who are hungering and thirsting. And the Old Testament talks about hungering and thirsting a lot. Isaiah 55 verse 1, "Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." It's not talking about the physical, it's talking about the spiritual. Now we can come to the Lord and he will provide all of our needs. And that's the God in the Old Testament, that's how God revealed himself. In the New Testament, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So you can read right through the Old and New Testament, and it doesn't matter what era you are in, including today, the promise is a promise of spiritual satisfaction, of having our hunger and our thirst fulfilled. So that when we come back from the wandering path, and when we come back from the place where we're a bit hungry and we're a little bit thirsty spiritually, there's this promise of spiritual security for those who were wandering. So wandering can be a part of our spiritual journey. There's another part of our spiritual journey, and we're going to call it the trapped. Psalm 107, 10 to 16. "Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness, utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron." Remember where we started. Psalm starts off, it's to the redeemed. It's the people who have the story of redemption. And in that story, there are those who find themselves. And they find themselves trapped because the trapped are those who have deliberately set themselves against God. And so we got words like prisoner and rebelled and they despise God. They are lost, but they are deliberately lost. And rebellion can do that, can't it, to you? Make you feel lost. make you feel like you're chained. And for most of us, it will not be a literal chain. For some of us, it might be. But it's a chain nevertheless, where we can become chained to our emotional responses, where we become chained to responses like bitterness and anger. And these things make us slaves. We can become chained to a certain lifestyle, the pursuit of wealth, the need to succeed, the need to have our own way, and we can have become slaves to that. We can become chained to things that inherently are good. We might become chained to our families or our relationships or our responsibilities, but even here in these good things, these good areas, or that would be classed as good areas, we have this invisible chain where we're standing against God. And so for each one of us, the issue might be different, but the result is the same, is that there's this chaining effect, there's this prisoner effect. We are standing against God. And we will continue to be trapped until we cry out to the Lord who promises to set the prisoners free. Not long after Jesus is baptized, he makes his way to where he grew up in Nazareth, remembering he was born in Bethlehem. And he was preaching in the synagogue there, and he's been living there. He lived there from when he was about 2-3 years old. He grew up in this town, and he's preaching in the synagogue. And the scroll that he read from says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has set me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery for the sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus preaches perhaps the shortest sermon in history, and he says, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing." And then he sits down. And what people realized and what they understood and why there was so much uproar about this is because Jesus was reading from Isaiah 61. And he was saying that what was going on back there and this prophecy that was taking place, this is me. Now, there's a whole other sermon there, but the point of reading this is to recognize that this idea of God wanting to set the prisoners free, this idea of God wanting to set the disobedient, the deliberately disobedient who have stood against him, of setting them free, this has been how the whole scripture has been unfolding. The heart of God is to set the prisoners free. Isaiah talks about that. Jesus makes these words his own. And Jesus understands that his ministry and his calling is to be the one who makes this possible, that the prisoners will be set free. And Jesus did this so that those who know that God is good and God is loving, but also at the same time, those who are trapped because they've rebelled and found themselves in darkness. And you can be those two people at those two situations exactly at the same time. Jesus did that so that those who are on that journey can call out to God and have their chains broken. Being trapped, it's part of our spiritual journey. Another component of our spiritual journey is we're going to call them those who are feeling broken. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. We're seeing this theme coming through, aren't we? There's a situation, and then they cry out to God, and then there's a response of thanks. In this case, it's a response of sacrifice. And they're telling their story. And remember that what's always said at the beginning. This is the story of the redeemed. This can be part of our story. And so part of our story could be things like we are fools, we are in iniquity, we are suffering. The word rebellion is there, but it's actually a different word in the Hebrew to the rebellion that was in the previous section. And so what we realize is that the broken are those who are dealing with the ongoing consequences of their sin. So in a sense, we're dealing with the same group that we had before, the trapped. But there's going to be people who are trapped, who know that they've deliberately sinned against God, who repent, who come before the Lord and cry out to the God in thanksgiving. But then they have this ongoing sense of, oh, I really let God down. And even though I've sought forgiveness, I'm still feeling guilt. And I'm still feeling shame. And they're feeling like discouraged because they're feeling that they're hopeless cases. And they're looking and they're saying, I'm really no good before God and I'm going to give up. And God gave me so many opportunities and so many chances and I just blew it. And some of them might even get to the point of saying, what would God want with someone as useless as me? You see? So it's people who've gone through that disobedience and then they're struggling to recognize that God's willing to keep forgiving them. God's willing to love them. And they feel like they've gone to this place of abandonment. That God really should abandon them. That they shouldn't be forgiven. So the broken are those who are overcome by the weight of the consequences of their sin. And we will continue to be broken until we cry out to the Lord, who will never let the grave have the final word. It talks there about the grave. In the Old Testament, generally, the grave is this place that was seen as the place of ultimate abandonment. It's a place where people were forgotten. And there's some verses that you can read that give this sense that it's a place where God will even forget you. Now, generally, that's the feeling that the Old Testament people have towards the grave. They haven't got the full revelation of the Scriptures. They don't have the full understanding. But there are some people in the Old Testament even who understand what the grave, where the grave is broken. Job is one of those people. Job lived probably around the same time as Abraham. And even as early as that, while he's going through the difficulties and the sufferings, if you don't know what I'm talking about, read the book of Job. It's 40 chapters. But basically, he's had a real difficult time. And in the midst of this, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And that in the end, he will stand on this earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I'm going to die. My skin's going to disappear. But after that moment, God's there. The grave doesn't separate me from God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I will, and not another. Job knows that the grave is not the end, that the grave is not ultimate abandonment, that the grave doesn't mean that Job ceases to exist, that Job won't be forgotten. And when Jesus died and rose from the dead, and the eternal power of the grave was broken, Paul said, where, O death? Oh, sorry, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's gone. The grave is inconsequential. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are rescued from the grave. Jesus breaks the brokenness that comes with thinking that the consequences of our sin are so full that we are rendered useless. And so there's not a uselessness. After the brokenness, after the consequences, is life. Feeling broken can be part of our spiritual journey. Another aspect of our journey can be feeling fragile. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. This is not a testimony of sailors out on their boat. This is a testimony of those who are going through all sorts of storms of life. The fragile are those who face wave after wave of difficulty. Where you're just going along in your life, in your career, in your family, in your church, or whatever responsibility you have. It's the normal course of life, and then suddenly it just gets out of control. There's this wave that seems to come out of nowhere, and here we are again. And it's not because we've sinned, but it feels like we're being let down, or it comes out of nowhere. And something that we trusted in, or something that we thought was well established, or something that we presumed was a sure thing, it's all gone. And the circumstances are so overwhelming that it's described that we're reeling and staggering like a drunkard. And here we are at our wit's end. There's a real comfort in that, isn't there? That saying. To know that people in this world, since the time of this psalm, which is 2,500 years ago and presumably before, that people in this world have been at their wits' end for at least that long. That there's an affinity and an understanding that as we go through life, this is the place that we can get to. God, I'm at my wits' end. And we will continue to be fragile until, now we know where we're going, we cry out to the Lord and he stills the storm. For those of us who've been around church for a little while, we can't help but think to Jesus, can't we? That Jesus who is the storm stiller. We read about it in Matthew chapter 8. The disciples are in the boat in the middle of the storm. Jesus is fast asleep. The storm is so ferocious that even the disciples who were seasoned fishermen, they were afraid, they were feeling fragile. They call out to Jesus, and Jesus calms the storm. Jesus is the storm stiller. Not just of the physical storms, which he can actually do, but all the storms that come through life that make us feel fragile in one way or another. The storm that comes with starting in a new grade at school, or maybe starting school for the first time, or going from primary school to high school. The storm that comes with the changes in their life where we're going to have to move. Or the storms that come in our life where our friendships change, or people move on, or people move into our life or out of our life. And I really love what Hannah did there, where for each of those storms, she just led the kids and prayed. Because that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about coming to the Lord and crying out to the Lord, saying, in the midst of all of this, Lord, I'm a wanderer, I'm trapped, I'm broken, I'm fragile. And I'm coming to you, Lord, and I'm crying out to you because I know that you are the answer. That you are the one who will hold me fast. Now, there's more to Psalm 107 than what we've read, but we're going to stop there at this point. And I want us to just stop and reflect on what we've seen. What we've seen is that we, the redeemed, have a story. And in the midst of that story, which is a story that is a story of redemption, and a story of a God who is good and a God whose love endures forever, coming into our life and gathering us in his family and calling us his own, that we've got a story in the midst of all of that, that even as the redemption takes place, there are also these other aspects of life that we end up in. And our story and our testimony could be that we are wanderers, that we're trapped, that we're broken, that we're fragile. Maybe we're all of those things at some point or another. But what we need to understand is that's not the whole story, and it's certainly not the end of the story. The end of the story is ultimately told at the beginning of the psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. And every time we're going through these situations, we keep on coming back to the Lord, and we keep on crying out to him, because we know and we trust and we take comfort that he is the one who gathers. He is the one who holds us. He is the one who keeps us secure. There's no other place where we can go where we will find that security and that grace and that love and that mercy. No matter what we're going through, we keep on giving thanks to our God who is good and to our God whose love endures forever. And it doesn't mean that life's going to go smoothly. It's not. God never promises in the scripture that life will be smooth, that life will be easy, that everything will just fall on your lap. What he does promise is that he will be there, that he will never let us go, that he's not going anywhere. And so that means that as we go through these situations, as this is part of our testimony, part of our story, that we are seeking to have a spiritually wise perspective in the midst of the journey. And the spiritually wise perspective is to give thanks, to give thanks, to give thanks, to give thanks, and to keep on giving thanks each and every day. Because the God who owns the universe, the God who knows the beginning from the end, he has gathered us. He has called us. He has named us. We are his. And he says to us, I'm always going to be good. And my love is always going to endure forever for you. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we want to lift up for a moment those in our congregation who may be in that place in a story where they're feeling like wanderers, where they're feeling trapped, where they're feeling fragile, where they're feeling broken. Lord, and we pray that for those who have that story as part of their life, we want to lift them up, and together with them, we want to cry out to you and ask God that you can bring them to that place of crying out to you and in thanks, knowing that you are good, and that your love endures forever. That beyond these situations, there's a place of crying out, which also leads to thanksgiving and a testimony of praise at the city gates. A willingness to bring sacrifice. A willingness to serve. God, we know that we can rely on you and hold on to you. And so, Lord, as we all have these different stories, may it be ultimately that the story is a story of ultimate redemption, of holding on to you and knowing, Lord, that being a wanderer, being fragile, being broken, being trapped, it's only part of the story. It's not the end of the story. And that beyond all this is a God who is loving, good, forgiving, gracious, caring, a God who gave his one and only Son that we may not perish but have eternal life. And so we hold on to him and we pray in his name, the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people say, Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.